Remember when this was making the rounds on social media?
Senator Warren was giving a lengthy speech. She had appeared to violate the rule. She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Senator Mitch McConnell objected to Senator Elizabeth Warren's testimony on Jeff Sessions. It was during his confirmation hearing for attorney general, and Warren was reading letters that didn't make Sessions sound like a great choice. And she was shut down.
The senator will take her seat.
But before that, something really strange happens, and it's easy to miss. Before McConnell comes in, Warren is warned by the senator presiding over the Senate that day. Listen to this.
The rule applies to imputing conduct or motive through any form or voice to a sitting senator.
Wait, do you hear that voice in the background?
Form of words includes quotes,
articles,
or other materials.
Who is this person feeding him the lines? I'm Flora Lichtman, and this is Every Little Thing from Gimlet Media.
I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Today's show is all about the rules that govern the rulemakers, otherwise known as procedure.
Procedure is broccoli. People never want to talk about procedure.
That's Tony Madonna. He's a political scientist from the University of Georgia, and he is going to guide us through this. And he knows that you may not care about this stuff.
It's very rare I've ever been able to talk to anybody for more than like 10 minutes about legislative politics and procedure. But yeah, if you care about anything, you care about policy and issues, which makes a lot of sense.
But here's why legislative broccoli matters. The big policies we're hearing about, tax reform, Obamacare repeal. Whether these policies get passed or not depends on senators following rules. So there are 44 principal standing rules that organize how business gets done in the Senate, but it's a lot more complicated than that.
So a lot of times when we talk about Senate rules, what we're really talking about is Senate precedents, right? So interpretations of rules or behavior that do bind senators.
Meaning that on top of the rules, there are two centuries of interpretation of the rules that senators are supposed to follow. And the official Senate interpreter is the Senate whisperer you are hearing.
The chair has not made a ruling with respect to senators' comments. The senator is following process and tradition.
This is the Senate parliamentarian. Her name is Elizabeth McDonough, and she's the first woman to serve in the role. She was appointed in 2012 by then-Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, but the parliamentarian has no party affiliation. She's supposed to be a neutral voice.
So the parliamentarian is essentially the guardian of the Senate's precedent and rules.
Maybe she's the conscience of the Senate.
That's George Washington University professor Sarah Binder, another procedure expert.
She's the one who's trying to make sure that the Senate hews as close as possible to the statute or the rules.
We couldn't get an interview with the parliamentarian, but we also heard from her office that she's pretty busy right now. While the Senate's in session, the parliamentarian sits near the presiding officer and advises on how to respond to objections and what types of amendments can be offered, and if certain senators are or are not insulting their colleagues. When Elizabeth Warren persisted a few months ago, what rule was she breaking?
Yeah, so this was Rule 19, which basically is that you're not allowed to impugn another senator. I forget the exact text of the rule.
Rule 19 says that in debate, you can't insult another senator. And by the letter of the law, Warren may have been breaking Rule 19. But Sarah Binder says it was controversial because the rule wasn't evenly enforced.
Well, Rule 19 is pretty clear. What was unusual about it is that it was applied specifically to Elizabeth Warren and not to some of her male colleagues who also spoke ill of their fellow Senator Sessions.
This part of Rule 19, specifically the no-tolerance policy against insults, it's there for a reason.
A good default when you're wondering, how did this rule get established? a guess would be a congressman or senator from South Carolina did something rash and violent, and this and a rule was passed in response.
I think South Carolina might object to that.
They might, but it's happened a few times now. Rule 19 is one of those.
What's the story? Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I think it was 1905, and the long-serving senator from there, Pitchfork Ben Tillman, which is just a phenomenal name.
Okay, so Pitchfork Ben Tillman gets into an argument with a junior senator from his own state. The junior senator comes down to the Senate floor and calls Tillman a liar.
Tillman was on the floor and just turned around and cold-cocked him. And so you get a brawl on the Senate floor that eventually led to the rule saying, look, you can't impugn another senator.
So this Warren rule came out of someone getting punched.
Yeah, so I'm assuming she's a little disappointed she didn't even get to take a swing at anybody.
As far as Senate violence goes, this punching situation is actually pretty mild.
People tend to glorify, like, the 19th century Congress, but there was a lot of sort of shady stuff that went on there. You get a bunch of examples where people would end up in duels. You get some language.
Wait, physical duels?
Yeah.
Yes, physical duels. For instance, in 1826, Virginia Senator John Randolph was on the Senate floor, and he insulted then-Secretary of State Henry Clay. This led to a duel, and Clay shot Randolph. But it only hit him in the coat.
The other thing I think people often don't quite grasp is they sold a lot of booze right outside of Congress.
What?
It's not a comfortable place to be debating, right? It's D.C. There's no air conditioning, and you're somewhat... You're kind of liquored up.
I mean, that seems way more dysfunctional than our problems today.
Certainly less professional is probably...
yeah, maybe.
And again, you know, if you had more of that today, I'm guessing C-SPAN would get much better ratings.
Yeah, I bet C-SPAN is just hoping.
Yeah, drunken Elizabeth Warren just pulling a gun on Mitch McConnell. You know, again, it'd be less professional, but I think people would tune in.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go back to basic cable for that.
Exactly.
What is the sort of deeper meaning to you about procedure?
Yeah, so for me, I think the deeper meaning to procedure is it provides order within a chamber, which without sort of that order or structure, you almost get chaos. When you think about the Constitution, that's a point Madison makes, which is if you agree on the process, you feel still upset that you lost, but not that you've been cheated. Right, and when people get cheated, bad things happen, often violent things.
As a procedure guy, do you ever use procedure in your regular life?
No. Mostly I just use stories of procedure to bore my daughter and wife. Yeah.
But a lot of people do use parliamentary procedure in daily life. You'll probably recognize the language.
Do I have a motion? Everybody moves. Director.
You can also hire your own parliamentarian, your own business whisperer or conscience of your startup. Organizations across the country use them, from labor unions to PTAs to church groups to garden clubs.
I also serviced a dog kennel club.
This is Darlene Allen. She's a professional registered parliamentarian. She's also a director at large for America's oldest parliamentary association, the National Association of Parliamentarians. Do you call it NAP? Do you use that acronym?
No, we do not. NAP.
Got it. Good. I'm glad I asked.
Yes.
To join NAP, you have to pass an exam, and you have to pass an even harder exam to become a registered parliamentarian. A book called Robert's Rules of Order is the most common procedural manual to study from. It was first published in 1876. What's the history behind Robert's Rules of Order? Where did that come from?
Well, General Robert, you know that he was in the Corps, Army Corps of Engineers, and he went to a church meeting. So it's been said that he went to the church meeting and he was there way longer than he thought, and it was chaos in the meeting. And so he went home and he wrote his small manual, and that's what started everything.
Really? It was just a bad meeting?
Yes, it was a bad meeting.
That's amazing, because I feel like I've sat through a lot of bad meetings and it never occurred to me to try to fix it.
I guess that's part of the problem, because if you don't know that there really is a fix and someone can help you, you just continue month after month to attend bad meetings without there being any hope of them getting better.
Darlene got into parliamentary procedure because she too wanted to fix something. It started when she tried to join the PTA.
So the outgoing PTA said, oh, well, no, you have to be elected first and you have to do this. And Robert's Rules of Order says that. And some of it just didn't make sense.
So Darlene boned up. She took a class on Robert's Rules of Order, got on the PTA, used the rules to make it better. And that's how she got the bug for parliamentary procedure.
Once you have the bug, it usually takes you to different places.
The role of parliamentarians is often to help meetings run better. And that means keeping things from getting rude.
That is what brings down most meetings. You know, it's okay that you were wrong about something or that the other members disagree with you, but you don't have to be disagreeable about it.
Parliamentarians advise on points of order. They can suggest motions that limit debate or rules that let everyone talk before one person gets to talk twice. They can help create an agenda. And all these things can mean shorter meetings.
And they no longer have to be there all night. They can have a standard 2-hour meeting.
Which makes people happier.
When it's time to go home, everyone's standing around, they're laughing, they're enjoying themselves.
And this may all sound like small stuff, but sometimes these little things prevent serious escalations.
I have seen times where they have had police there to make sure the meetings don't get out of hand.
When we come back, how to fix meetings when they really go wrong. We talked to several parliamentarians, and one thing we heard over and over again is that some types of organizations have a reputation for being hard to work with. Leonard Young, a professional registered parliamentarian, has worked with thousands of organizations, governors' associations, school boards, universities. And out of all those, there's a type of organization that is notoriously problematic.
Dog breeders' associations. These are people that are passionate about their particular breed and just the length of hair it has to be and the color of the eye and the shape of the rump and all of these things. And they just get crazy about it.
You're
and
kidding so, me. This is well known in the parliamentary world.
Dog breeders associations, homeowners associations is another one that are exceptionally hard to serve.
Yes, homeowners and dog breeders. And apparently church meetings have their own set of troubles.
You would not think so, but they just tend to be more emotional.
This is Jim Jones. He's the vice president of NAP, and he works as a parliamentarian.
Again, just like with the money and the homeowner associations, when you're talking about your church and your faith and your pastor, that's an emotional issue. So it's hard to bring rules in when we're talking about this is what God wants. I've heard stories where parliamentarians have to get escorts out of meetings because the meeting had gotten so bad.
Wait. So, like, there are horror stories of physical violence erupting at meetings?
Yeah. These are situations that are important to these people. To remove a pastor, to sell the church property, things like that, those are highly emotional. And so I have seen times where they have had police there to make sure the meetings don't get out of hand.
Jim says that even though parliamentary procedure can seem formal and awkward and like it makes things harder, What these rules really do is depersonalize things. They take the emotion out of meetings.
I've had times where there have been police there, and by the end of the process, they're telling me, yeah, I've done a great job because we had to be here before. Now we're just here because they're used to having us here.
The police said that to you?
Yeah, and because they had seen the change.
That's amazing. I feel sold on having a parliamentarian. Like, I think I want one for my life, just like my day-to-day. Just to come around with me and suck the emotion out of my charged interactions.
Sure.
Jim offered some lessons, like things that we can take away from parliamentary procedure to use in our day-to-day lives. One is set an agenda, just like you would in a business meeting.
If in your personal life, you're having a difficult conversation with somebody, you really want to think out before you start that conversation, what's the points I'm trying to make?
Another lesson, listen to people.
When you look at people who've been married 50, 60, 70 years, they've learned to listen to each other. In your household, you're not going to be making motions. I move that we're going to have steak tonight, but at the same, as opposed to chicken. But there is a process for what runs an orderly and non-dysfunctional household.
I wonder if parliamentarians make the best spouses.
That's a very good question. I probably wouldn't be the proof of that.
This is the power of parliamentary procedure. The rules are designed to create fairness.
When you think about it, in parliamentary procedure, and in most meetings, democracies, period, the whole key is that when you lose, you don't have to leave the organization. In the country, when you hold an election, when you lose, you don't get kicked out of the country. The majority decides, but the minority is always respected and heard. That gets people to buy into the process so that when the result doesn't go their way, they still believe in the process and that they were treated fairly.
Keeps people from killing each other.
There you go. And that's the whole key of it.
This is something to feel good about in modern politics. I'm serious. I would like to celebrate the fact that senators are not dueling each other anymore. And that's in part because we have procedures specifically designed to prevent that from happening.
Provisions of Rule 22 of the Standing Rules of the Senate do hereby move to
the Senate. Under the provisions of Rule 1, Paragraph 3 of the Standing Rules of the Senate, I hereby...
It's nice knowing that you turn on C-SPAN, you're seeing the same sort of rules, we've seen for a while now.
Tony Madonna has been watching a lot of C-SPAN lately. There's a ton of procedural drama right now because the Senate is so divided. Like during Justice Gorsuch's confirmation hearings, the Senate went against procedural precedent and invoked the nuclear option. This was a way to get around a Democratic filibuster and make it easier to confirm Gorsuch. And with tax reform, too, if and when that makes its way through the Senate, you're likely to hear a lot about another complicated budget procedure called reconciliation. It will be all the buzz for procedural geeks. What about procedure makes you geek out?
Pretty much everything about procedure makes me geek out a bit.
And if you have become a procedure geek yourself and want to know more, follow Tony Madonna on Twitter. He's Tony Madonna 5, and he tweets a lot during procedure controversies.
And I was joking with my wife. I think on average, I lose like 20 followers during those.
Or you can just glue yourself to C-SPAN and listen for the whisper.
Every little thing.
Every little thing.
Is produced by Flora Lichtman.
It's produced by Flora Lichtman.
Christine Driscoll.
Christine Driscoll.
And Gofen Butubwele.
And Gofen Butubwele.
Uh-huh. Our senior producer is Catherine Wells.
Our senior producer is Catherine Wells.
Our editor is Annie Rose Strasser.
Our editor is Annie Rose Strasser.
Scoring by Martin Crane.
Scoring by Martin Crane.
We were mixed by Dara Hirsch.
We were mixed by Dara Hirsch.
Special thanks to Nicole Pasulka and Jorge Just.
Special thanks to Nicole Pasulka and Jorge Just.
Can you take it from here?
I hope so.
Okay.
Thanks, GoFin. Because we're a new show, we could use your help. If you could review us on Apple Podcasts, we'd really appreciate it. Also, I want to give a special shout out to everyone who told us on our Eclipse episode that it's better to use ellipse rather than oval when you're talking about an orbit, because not every oval is an ellipse. I'm so glad to know that. Thank you.
All right, if you ever have any viewers that just want to talk about legislative rules, I think my number is on my website. Have them call whenever.